This is an interview with Guy Playford, recorded for the Dursingham 2000 History Project on May the 28th, 1997. Please may I have your full name, Guy?
It's Guy Charles Playford.
Could you spell the surname?
P-L-A-Y-F-O-R-D.
And do you have a nickname that you prefer?
No, most people call me Guy.
Right, thank you. Now, could you tell me, first of all, when did you first come to Dursingham?
I've lived in Dursingham all my life.
Would you like to tell us what you can remember?
My very first recollection of times in Dursingham were playing on Balding's farm. I used to live near what was the Dun Cow, and it's now Budgeons, probably the age of 5 or 6. I used to have many a good time on that farm.
Right, so basically you were a baby in Dursingham.
Yes.
And you live in Dursingham now?
Yes, I've moved from one side of the village to the other, really.
Which other members of your family live in Dursingham?
My brother and mother live about 3 doors down the road from me, and my uncle and aunt also live in the village.
Right. You went to school in Dursingham?
Yes. I actually went to Inglethorpe Primary School, but St George's Secondary Modern, which I think is now the middle school.
Yes. Tell us something about your education there.
I did what were CSEs going back, how many years ago was that?
A long time.
Yes. CSEs, I did 6 or 7 CSEs and 3 or 4 O-levels.
And did you enjoy it?
Yes, yeah, I did. It was it wasn't a large school, but it's just the right size, I felt, at the time.
Yes, of course I worked there, so I can remember teaching you.
Yes.
Now, your earliest memories. Now, you told us you can remember playing. Can you think of anything else?
Yes, I can remember the old railway line that was actually on Balding's farm, right down the bottom of the farm. I'm not sure when it was dismantled, but I feel round about when I was the age of 12 to 14 they dismantled it, I guess.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
So can you remember going for rides on it?
No, I can't actually, because I think going back when I was 10 or 12 at the time, it wasn't, you know, used very much. I'm sure that was actually being wound down at the time, but I can certainly remember it being dismantled.
That's right, yes. Anything else?
A long time ago. I can't really recall anything else.
Do you think it was a pity that they got rid of it?
I think if the railway line was there now, it would be a really big asset, considering how many people actually travel to Hunstanton and the congestion on the road. I mean, although there's a bypass now, I think that would be a really good tourist attraction, and it also, you know, enable people to get to from Kingsland without all these traffic jams that seem to be happening every weekend.
I think from a tourist point of view particularly, because what I remember of it was a very pretty route, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, unfortunately I can't remember travelling on it, but I mean, you can still actually walk parts of it, and I'm sure that would have been, you know, an excellent, you know, trip from Kingsland to Hunstanton.
I've read somewhere that they are intending to turn part of it into a cycle track.
All right, well, that'd be quite
which
good.
Would take us into Lynn.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Be better if it was a railway line again.
Now, did you belong to any clubs or organisations?
Can't really remember many clubs, although I did do some bell ringing between the ages of 12 and about 16, and I can remember one very memorable occasion ringing the new year in, which entailed putting muffles on the clappers and taking them off and then ringing the new year in. And I forgot who was the vicar at the time, but I remember I was probably only about 16 or 17, and we certainly had a few sherries afterwards, which was quite good fun.
So why did you give it up in the end?
I think probably going to college and other commitments after that, and just I suppose most of my evenings were taken up with other activities and couldn't really fit it in.
Right. So you see,
actually thinking about it, that was when Alec Nurse was alive and we were ringing handbells as well. And I can remember going around Alec's house ringing handbells.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a while ago. God.
Now, can you say what was the most important day you ever spent in the village?
Yes, there's one important day which, I'm not sure of the year, it must have been about 15, 18 years ago when we, my father had died at the time, but I was running the family business and I applied for the royal warrant, and after about 5 or 6 years of supplying the Queen with bread, we actually got the royal warrant again. And I know going back before I was born, my father and uncle had the royal warrant, and they lost it for some period of time to another baker that came, I think it was Terry Wagg. And I know at the time, I think my dad was, you know, reasonably upset about not supplying the Queen, and I've just felt that unfortunately he wasn't alive, but had he been alive, that would have been a very, very proud moment for him, you know, as well as myself.
Did you actually have to go up to Sandringham to get it?
No, what you have to do to get the royal warrant, you have to obviously supply the Queen and the rest of the royal family over a period of 5 or 6 years. Then you apply in writing to the Royal Warrant Holders Association, supplying them with all the invoices and all the, you know, the goods that you've supplied. And then they sit once a year and decide, you know, who's eligible for the royal warrant. And, you know, I think it's probably around about January time. They then issue, you know, whoever's applied and succeeded, you know, to you know, in the application of it, with the royal warrant.
Now, presumably, you could then have it outside the shop.
Yes, you can have it on your letterhead. You can have a big shield. In actual fact, when I say shield, it's a coat of arms. The coat of arms that my uncle and father had going back to the 1950s, which was put into storage after that, you know, it was taken away from them. I actually had the whole thing completely done up again, repainted. I mean, the original one, I think, had gold leaf on it. That was, you know, it was really nice, you know, huge, great thing. And that's actually, you know, in my garage at the moment. Obviously, I haven't got it now because I'm not, you know, in the bakery. And when I actually sold the business about 15 years ago, I had to write back to the Royal Warrant Holders Association to say, you know, I'm no longer going to be supplying you with this. So they then had to cancel the Royal Warrant. But obviously, we kept this coat of arms.
Now, obviously, we can't ask you to lend the Millennium Committee this, but we would be very grateful if you could have a photograph taken of yourself, because it would be very interesting, so we'll ask you for that.
Yes.
Are there any other, because obviously being, it's all to do with the work in at Sandringham, isn't it?
Yes, Sandringham and Wood Farm, because obviously the Royal Family, when they come down every year for a 6-week period, and you know, they obviously need the supplies that we're offering at the time.
Right, so it would be rolls and loaves of bread.
Yes, everything that, you know, for them when they came down the way of bakery goods.
Now, are there any other firms in or around Dersingham that have also got the Royal Warrant?
Yes, I know Scholes the Butchers, I think they got it the year before or the year after we did. And I know Crane's Sheds have just recently, I think a couple of years ago, they've got it.
So they must have been supplying sheds to Her Majesty.
Yes, either that or, yes, whether there's a connection between the woodyard or not, I'm not sure. There may be.
Now, obviously, you're talking about the Royal Warrant and knowing the village. Your family have been very much in the village as suppliers of different things. Would you tell us a little bit about it? Which of your relatives supplied what?
Yeah, sure. I mean, going back to one of your earlier recollections, I mean, I've got a picture somewhere. I know it's in a magazine or a book of Norfolk, which goes back to about 1895. And that's a picture of my great-great-grandfather, who had a windmill at the top of a fern hill. And he's standing there with his top hat on and the photographic pose. And you can actually still see the foundations of the windmill up at the top of Fern Hill. I know the windmill's not there anymore. It's a shame, really.
Yes.
Be another good tourist attraction, actually.
It would, yes.
So basically, my great-great-grandfather was in the bakery.
He was a miller.
He was a miller, yes. A miller and a baker as well, I believe.
Right, so he did his own flour.
Yes, and baked as well. And then there was, I believe, I get confused now because, you know, it's going back a while. There was my great-grandfather and then my grandfather. I mean, obviously didn't know my grandfather. He died about 4 years before I was born. who had the bakery built down Manor Road.
Right.
And then obviously my uncle and brother took over the bakery after my grandfather died. And then I took over the business when my dad died.
Were you actually working for your father before?
Yeah, I worked for Dad for about 3 or 4 years before he died. We actually opened up a bakery on the main road, the Krusty Cob, which I think is probably called the Krusty Loaf now,
yes,
in Jubilee Court. That's when I first came back into the bakery after finishing school and doing other work. And I ran that particular shop for about 3 years, and unfortunately he died. So I was then in a situation where I went back into the business totally, and unfortunately at that time the supermarkets were then putting in store bakeries, and we found the business wasn't quite so easy to run. It was a family business, and some of the family had passed away or wanted to retire, and that's a sad fact that I think most family business still, I mean, they do need a family to run them, and you can't always put one person in and get other labour in to run what is a family business. So
and your brother didn't?
My brother did for a while, but he wasn't really geared up to, he wasn't keen on doing it at the time. So we decided to sell it.
Right, so you sold the property in Manor Road and the Krusty.
Yes, we actually sold it to two different bakers. One baker bought the bakery down Manor Road, and another one bought the one on the main road.
And so now they're in open competition.
Yes, they are. They were in competition, but unfortunately the people who bought the bakery down Manor Road have closed it down. So it's no longer baking bread or supplying bread at all.
So what is it? Is it just an empty?
Just an empty building, I think. I mean, they're probably the old ovens and the old equipment still in there. But I think when Budgeons obviously came into the village with a supermarket locally, that must have affected the trade as well. And I think, as well as that, but as far as local business is concerned, I think the bypass must have caused decline in that sort of business,
yes,
because we were very, very busy going back in the early 1980s with holiday traffic buying bread off us,
yes,
when we were based in the main road.
Yes.
But now, right, now they drive straight through. So there's one negative side of having a bypass, and one negative side of having a supermarket in the village.
Yes.
It actually affects local trades.
Yes. And then, of course, there was your mum, who ran a successful hairdressing business,
yes,
for quite a long time, didn't she?
That's right. I think she's hairdressing it from when I was a little, at least from when I was 4 or 5. I know she had the shop next to, which is near Budgeons, it's called New Images now.
Yes.
She still actually does a little bit of hairdressing at Park House.
Yes.
She's keeping a hand in.
Good.
A couple of days a week.
And then, of course, you started your own company.
Yes, I started in carpets, actually. And actual fact, as I was saying, there's one negative side about bypasses and supermarkets for some local businesses, but as the village is actually growing, certainly in the housing market, with the suitors building 300 houses or whatever, it's actually, I'm looking at things totally different now, thinking it's actually good for the village.
Yes.
One time I was thinking, oh dear, we don't need this bypass, we don't need a supermarket, and I think, great, yeah, let's have more
houses.
Of it.
Yes. So do you do a lot of your trade in the village?
I would say probably 90% of our work comes within a 7 or an 8 mile radius, so it's a very confined area really, which is good, saves us travelling too much, and we can give a lot of personal attention to regular customers.
And do you think that this attention to detail makes for a successful firm?
I think so, certainly, in competition, being in competition with some of the bigger national companies, they can't actually offer anywhere near the same service as what we do. I mean, the way I look at this area, there's a lot of retired people in this area,
yes,
and there's a lot of retired people who don't want the hassle of having to empty rooms to have carpets fitted. They want someone to come in and do the whole thing from scratch.
Yes.
And the bigger companies, they'll sell you the carpet, but they're not prepared to do any of the harder work and the fine tuning to get the
yes.
job done properly.
And also, they don't make have the same personal interest.
No.
The way you can come in and you can advise people, you can show them colour matches and so on.
That's right. And being a small company, if a particular customer, likes to have one particular fitter that works for me, 12 months' time, they want the same person, they can have the same person. And there's that personal touch to it. They don't, older folk don't always want complete strangers coming into their houses. They want to know who's actually doing the work, and we can offer that, which is good.
Would you say this is an advantage of village life? Because the same thing happens with the local electrician.
Yes.
Who knows a lot of the houses and their problems. We have quite a few local businesses. There's local plumbers.
Yes, I think that's right, yes.
We're lucky, this is one of the advantages of living in a village.
I think it's a big advantage of living in a village and living in a small community, so everyone knows everybody else. There's a trust element there. I mean, just talking about that, I can remember when Dad was alive, when I was about 10 or 11. I mean, he never used to lock the van up there. He used to have bread and cakes and stuff in it.
Yes.
Obviously, when villages can't, they cannot be, get too big. And, you can destroy that element of it. Unfortunately, sort of a catch-22 situation here. On one hand, I want the village to get bigger
yes.
for the business. On the other hand, I think, no, it's nice to have a small community where everybody else knows it. Everybody
yes.
know what's going on.
That's right, where you can go along down our road, you can go along and drop 50p in a tin and buy a bag of potatoes.
Yes. And
then
still
the
be
money is lying
the
there from first thing in the morning till last thing at night. And I don't think nobody ever takes it.
No.
So yes, you would not do that in a city, would you?
You wouldn't.
You'd
no.
find your vegetables
this
gone out
true.
The money.
Yes.
Well, what was the worst time you can ever remember? I don't. Perhaps you haven't had a worse time.
No, obviously the saddest time of my life was when my father passed away, and I was then thrown straight into a
yes.
family business. But I can't really remember anything, apart from a personal sort of
yes.
situation.
See, a lot of the elderly people can remember things like the floods
yes.
and the war, but your generation, of course,
no.
hasn't gone through that.
No. Thank goodness.
What are the biggest changes you've seen in the village?
Well, certainly the size of the village. It's certainly grown. The bypass, bedgins, I think they're the biggest things. Yes, that's what I can think of, actually.
Would you say that having that big supermarket there, rather than the pub, has spoilt the village away from
it? I tell you what I would love to have seen, and that wasn't the Dun Cow as it was before Bedgins was there, but the original Dun Cow that was, there before the old Dun Cow was built. Living on the corner, when my mum had the hairdressing business, the Dun Cow was, two doors down the road, and I can remember drinking there, and there were pictures of the old one, and that would have been absolutely brilliant if that person had been.
So what
been
did
there.
It look like? In what way did it look different from the?
It was. Certainly a very old looking building. I don't know when it was built, and I can't really remember whether it had a thatched roof on it, but it was certainly a very old looking building. And I think a lot of there's an awful lot of character to those buildings,
yes.
and I think that's why anybody in the pub trade tends to do quite well when you've got a pub with character to it,
yes.
rather than a brick built building with no character at all.
Of course, some people would say that there are already enough pubs in the village.
Mm. Well, there aren't very many compared to what there were perhaps 30 or 40 years ago.
Can you explain why?
Well, let me think which ones I can remember. There was White Horse, which is now Jubilee Court, isn't
right.
it? And there's the Albert Victor,
yes.
which isn't a pub, it was a dance studio.
Right.
There's, let me think, obviously the Feathers are still there.
Yes.
And the Coach and Horses. Obviously the Dursingham Club, which wasn't there
yes,
many years
so
ago.
That took over.
Yes.
Yes. And then of course the one along Chapel Road, Mr. Masson's one.
Oh yes, yes, the old hall.
Yes.
Can't remember ever going there,
no.
but I can remember when Phyllis Jari had it, didn't
yes.
she, quite some time ago.
Yes.
That was all rebuilt. So there are less pubs now than what there were, but then I think that's general anyway.
Well, I think, you see, people now bring drink home.
Yes.
The television really finished off a lot of the pubs.
Yes, certainly the drink driving now is a bit risky, isn't it?
Yes, this is another advantage for villagers, of course.
Yes, that's right, walk to your local pub instead of drive, that's for sure.
Right. What would you like to see happen in the future?
That's a difficult question for me, because on one hand I'd love to see the village grow and grow and grow for business. On the other hand, I'd like to see it actually stay where it is, so that, you know, in the future there are places of character which relate to the, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, so you can sort of not actually keep rolling on all the time, but have buildings with character left standing, as it were.
I think we have a big advantage in that between us and Lynn is the Royal Sandringham land.
Yes,
because
true.
I often think if that wasn't there, we would end up as being a dormitory of Lynn.
Yes, that is true, actually, yes. I remember going back 15, 20 years ago when Mum and Dad were trying to get planning permission to build, you know, on some land which adjoined Sandringham Estate. There was a problem with trying to get planning permission for that.
Now, I know you're only young, but have you any ideas of whether you'll end up retiring in the village?
Yes, I mean, what I would love to do is get to perhaps 50 or 55 and buy a boat and sail around the world for a couple of years and then retire in Dursley.
Because people's life expectations have changed so now.
Yes. Yes, not, I mean, I do love this area, that's why I haven't moved. It's got a lot going for it.
And although it seems awful to say this, but with your family presumably buried in the village?
Yes, I think I'll be buried in the village.
Yes.
Yes.
You're not likely to move away?
No, not that far. My roots are here and they'll always be here.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, what does the millennium mean to you?
That's a good question. It's going to be just sort of over my 40th birthday, so...
Yes. A time for thinking, isn't it?
Yes, it is, really. I don't really know how that will... I mean, you can suddenly look forward into the future and think, how much of a change will there be when you reach that point? Or do you hang on to the past and think, well, let's keep some of the past with us, or... It does make you realise how time is passing by.
That's right. If you think that you will be presumably about halfway through.
Yes, if I live to 80, it'd be quite nice, really.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can think of it as a bit of a watershed.
Yes. I must admit, I'm one of these people that would rather go back in time to see how things were then, rather than to look forward and think, I wonder how things are going to be. If I had the choice of going forward in time to see how the future was, or back, I would always go back.
That's unusual for somebody young.
I love some of the old traditional, you know, I mean, I could sit down and watch a 1936 black and white film more than I could a new one, almost, you know.
Right.
Strange.
Yes. if you had the chance to be alive in 100 years' time,
mm-hmm.
what would you like to say to someone in Dursley?
I would like to be able to say, I can, you know, if I was that in 100 years' time, I can remember that building there, this building. I mean, I would hope that if I went forward in time 100 years, that things were still here from the past.
Yes.
I could explain how the various parts of the village have changed.
Yes, and they'd find it very interesting.
Yes.
Now, you've told me that you don't actually have a lot of photographs on newspaper cuttings, but somebody in your family has.
Yes, my Uncle Bill should have, you know, certainly some photographs, I think, of great-great-grandfather and the windmill, which would be quite interesting.
Yes.
I'm sure he's got one or two others.
Of when he was a child.
Yes, yes.
yes, right. Do you know anyone else who has interesting stories to tell?
My uncle may do, you know, going back to my uncle again, because obviously he can go back further in with his memories to my family. I mean, I can only say what I've been told by him and my dad, but he will have more direct sort of memories of those times.
Probably because your family are very much a tradition in the village. That is probably why you find this leaning to the past rather than the future.
Yes, probably right, actually, yes.
Because you could end up being the only Playford.
Yes, that's true.
Left in the village.
Yes, that is true. I hadn't thought of that.
No. So really, we expect you to carry on one of the village traditions.
I hadn't better leave the village then.
No, you better not. Anyway, thank you very much, Guy.
It's been a pleasure.